Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Africa. I'm Otla. I'm Africa. I'm Tla. The beautiful African is Uletu. Fasilarona. The land is ours. Shamulashu. Tikurai Hina. I'm Africa. Something that I call slim, slim. Small, small. That is slim, slim. Small, small. Many of our most fearless, fiery liberation resistors, martyrs and instigators against the apartheid regime. You should have noticed, Mafrika, they lost weight quickly, became small, slim and slimmer, small and smaller, until they died and perished. As usual, our people, African gossipers, will condemn them as having AIDS. You know, this one has got AIDS, blah, 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 blah. You know, the antiviral immune deficiency syndrome. Mafrika, I ask the public to ask and count how many of our liberation fighters, stalwarts, died and perished after they became small and slim. Literally, the body shrunk. It is a fact, my Africa, that colonial and apartheid powers have used multiple weapons. I suspect, my Africa, because some of us have gone through the experiences and you start asking yourself, why did I behave in this crazy manner as if I lost my mind? It is because they did it to you, my Africa. And they've weaponized radio waves, satellite signals, affecting your brain, my Africa, and your thought processes. Also, they've poisoned many of our people in Africa. Poisoned. I mean, I remember the Mo'Africa Potlak, Natipo Kela, suddenly complained about stomach ache, and he died, perished. So, these are the hidden covert forces in Africa you do not see. And they operate significantly as ethnic mafia. They're ethnic-based. Germans just that. They're ethnic base for their national interests. And the anti-black, anti-African supremacy is alive. It's alive and rife, my Africa. But more hidden than open. Just more hidden now than open. Remember when we had the KKK, when they used to burn the crosses on your head? They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. Until Sterling, my Africa, the black man shot in the chest and killed while restrained on the ground. The police restrained him. Now, that one was open. And we're having a problem where black men's lives or lives of black people are endangered by police in this country. And we indicated, Mafrika, stressed, that get the crazies out of the police system. Don't allow them. Because there's going to be consequences. We cannot have this go on and on. We have sons and daughters, especially sons. When they go out, you worry if they come back alive. My Africa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, the recent one. Terrence Slatcher, fought by police, my Africa, shot by police. An officer, the officer, in fact, has been charged for felony manslaughter in first degree. The craziest part of it is that you hear there was a helicopter flying over, and it is alleged that her husband was in the helicopter as well. You hear the helicopter ride, somebody saying that Crusher is a big bad dude up. I mean, he's saying that up the sky. How did you know that the man is a big bad dude? How did that happen? Because that's how they see us, Africa. They see us as savages in occupied territories, a separate and distinct sect of uncultured, big, bad, wild dudes. That's how they see us, Africa. A separate culture in occupied territory, because these are occupied territories. The way police train, they train as if they're going to police occupied territories. That's how they see us, because we know where they train to sometimes. They go get people from outside to come and train them, as to treat us as if we are in occupied territory. And Africa, North Carolina, Keith Scott, shot dead, Africa. And killed by, it was shot by police, black police, this time, all right? And Mafrika, those amongst us in the black family who will pull the trigger to to shoot and kill their own blacks. The circumstances of Africa have to be investigated, and this is another. This crime of police killing Africans has to stop, Africa. And the depraved mental attitude. You always get a black to pull the trigger against another black. That is Africa. That is it. The black man is under siege, Africa, inside and outside the family. We've got to fight back for the right to black life and human right, but most important, the economic right, because we have the resources to change our lives so that people must stop looking at us. You know, once you're poor, they don't even look at you. But once you walk poor in the street, then you become a danger to everybody. And Africa, this reflects also the attitude. This reflects also to Azania, South Africa. I mean, 22 years after the so-called black vote, when it was rejoiced all over. Remember? Rejoiced that free. 22 years, you get a child. We quoted this last week. I'm going to say it again, Africa. A school kid, black one, saying that, "I'm so tired, I am tired of being called a baboon in class." This is an African country. She's in her home, Azania, the land of the African majority. "I'm so tired and I'm tired of being called a baboon in class. I'm tired of the teacher saying the F word to me. I'm told at home not to say the F word. Hearing another adult say the F word is totally unacceptable." A kid went to school and then she hears F word from the teacher. At our school, we carry a pass called a yellow pass book, which is quite the same as dorm pass. We can't leave the classrooms without our yellow books signed. It's basically like, and what makes me so sad is that it reminds me of the apartheid era. Now, to paraphrase Africa, dorm stands for stupid, all right? And pass stands for permit. So the two, dorm pass, stupid pass, that's what you can call it. You figure it out, Africa. Figure out the insult allowed to afflict the black children, but it's up to us to stop it. It's up to us, Africa, to stop it. And another school girl, Africa, student, was saying that, "Speaking my home language, speaking no English. I didn't have a black problem until this yellow passbook." She never had a problem. She said, "I never had a black problem until I was given this passbook." Remind again, Africa. And the premier Africanist, founder of the Pan-Africanist Congress, Mangaliso Robert Sobukwe, he called the dorm pass a distinctive badge of slavery and humiliation. And that instigated Sharpeville, Africa, called upon the people to go march nearer to the nearest police station to surrender these passbooks. Which, of course, you may say that it became the distinctive badge of black power resistance and a historic watershed of Pan-African resistance and onslaught against the white supremacy and occupation. Because after Sharpeville massacre of the 69 Africans, 21st March 1960, if you remember Africa, where the Africans marched to the police station to drop these passes. But no, we are dropping them. Arrest us all. The occupied Azania never was the same again, because it led to the formation of the Liberation Army. It led to the formation of the OAU, the Organization of African Unity Liberation Committee, in 1963. It led to the banishment of the apartheid regime at the United Nations through the efforts of the PAC, Pan-Africanist Congress. My Africa, history will tell. So, my Africa, we have the black anti-black complex, the selfie phobia, the African anti-African complex. I'm raising this, my friend, because the way our brethren treated us, they treated us more than they treated the enemy. They were hostile to us more than they were to the enemy. And I remember, my Africa, we used to try and work on that unity. I remember at the time, trying to mobilize exposure to, resistance against the apartheid regime. Some of us formulated came up with an idea, said, no, we can make a weekly cable program. And we actually produced, got a family of a brother here, I'll name his name, Minister Clemson Brown, to produce the weekly cable programs on Southern Africa. We went to our brothers, wrote a proposal to Lansdowne. And you know what they did? They went to a white British family in London to launch a weekly program that they did without us. And come independence, they took that white family to South Africa to run the SABC. That's where our problem starts. And the black brother was taking money from family. I remember. And I was taking my money, too, from my family, my pocket, which is not there today. The money is finished. And they are laughing at us as if we're stupid. Anti-black complex. The selfie-phobia African anti-African complex. That we need to deal with as family. Because it's worse. It's an Achilles heel, much savage and worse and destabilizing than the enemy. Without that, the enemy can't do us anything. Africans condescend, maltreat other Africans when given power to rule. They act no different than apartheid supremacists, sometimes much worse, manifestly corrupt, immoral, want to act with impunity while blaming white supremacy and occupation. We are tired of that. We are tired. They want to kill our people with impunity from Cape to Cairo, Madagascar to Morocco. That has to stop. African life is important. As you say, the African life is supreme, superlative, just like any other life. And the human life is an asset that has to come first. My Africa, to repeat, the Africanists in 1959 rejected the name South Africa and the South Africa Act of 1909 that named the country South Africa. They called this act a fossilized relic of white men's exclusive privileges and prejudices, must be scrapped. Putting this, my Africa, under this title of Black Anti-Black Complex, Selfie-Phobia, African Anti-African Complex. Now, when they formed this country, South Africa, it excluded the black majority. The majority historically today, we have no claim to the name South Africa, except that the name was imposed on us as the indigenous majority. The name South Africa continues both physical and psychological occupation and imposition on the African majority. That's why the majority looks confused. They look confused because they don't know where they belong. They cannot put their foot on their proper heritage, inalienable rights, or ownership of the country. They don't own it. You know why? How do you see that? Because it looks like the African themselves imposed this monumental, as in South Africa, the name South Africa is a monumental fraud and deception on our African psyche. And you see it, my Africa, the children go out and burn, destroy schools. I mean, they just burned universities, burned a warehouse for the university equipment, laboratory equipment. Everything banned. And you go to communities, they ban clinics, they ban schools, including, of course, sometimes they ban the houses of politicians in Africa, risking their life and limb. These are the people that are wondering. They don't know. Because of the anti-black, anti-African complex. You go take somebody else's name, call yourself by somebody else's name. 1994. That is my Africa. The greatest psychic damage occurred in 1994 when the apartheid regime, of course, with concurrence and complicity for our African brethren and sisters, they demanded, my Africa, that the soldiers who came from outside had to produce a matriculation certificate to be integrated into the army. You remember that? Now, at that time, I was dazed. I mean, I didn't know what was happening. My mind is like a bee was running in my head. That's why I'm saying that the certain weapons are being weaponized to walk with you everywhere so that you get dazed. They just take your mind. And that's what happened, my Africa. And my Africa, on the other side, the regime contrived to load and shower politicians with gifts, trinkets. Members of the Liberation Army paid thousands, some of them millions, to demobilize, repatriate, and reparate their services, sacrifice in the struggle. So they kept quiet. They were happy their pockets were full. Started drinking liquor, drinking, enjoying themselves. I mean, it was like, hey, the party has arrived. And with the politicians from Africa that came in, they were overpaid, given the houses, packs. And a senior veteran complained that leadership was sleeping in silken sheets. The liberation brothers and sisters were bought and bamboozled. That is true. That's what happened. It was a big party. And the weakness is that these people know us. Once they put currency money in your hands, paper money in your hands, you forget. But all that money in Africa had to be, somebody gave it. And you know who? Guess what? The bribe money, the money to buy out the liberation movement, it was coming from no other person but our own majority government. It was to be paid back by the black government, the incoming black government, and the poor African majority. That's what happened. Much worse from Africa, this government paid back all the outstanding apartheid debts. Because when they stepped into an agreement, they recognized, adhered, and upheld the constitution and laws of the then apartheid regime, except for certain abhorrent apartheid laws, and they had to change the constitution to accept a black president. That's it. So it is precisely the reason why this black government even rejected adopting an African name. I mean, if they did not adopt a Zaire, they could have adopted anything African, but they did not. They did not because they were quick to fill their positions, you know, take over the place of the Nationalist Party. And 22 years after the black vote in Africa, a jobless growth economy, corruption, theft, impunity within and among the black ruling class, you wonder why 13 councillors were killed before the elections on August 3. 13 councillors, I think 15, fighting for position. There are no jobs. There are no jobs, but the money that is being paid to politicians is too high. You know, it's like going, you can get more money than, it's better than going to rob a bank. You know, that money will do you good, man. And to quote one scholarly person, he said that, taken to our brethren, the ANC, said they have been absorbed by the apartheid system they inherited. The ANC has been absorbed by the apartheid system it inherited. Quote, you walk in as a liberator and suddenly you want two BMWs, not one BMWs, two BMWs X5s before you can build the bridge. Most liberation heroes post-1994 got swallowed into the values of the existing system rather than the continuing to be agents of transformation. No, that system has said it didn't have this BMW value. The apartheid regime didn't have that. They were taking care of the minority whites, taking care of their people. Of course, they excluded us and made us suffer. But you call yourself liberators, and some of you communists, Leninists, proletariats, you want two BMW X5s. And you know what happened? The minority political party just came in. It said no. No more BMWs for politicians. No more. Liberators, no more BMWs. You go and drive Audi or something cheaper. One of the mayors did it by coming in. So, Africa must wake up. And we had the apartheid regime adopted the strategy called Cordon Sanitaire. That is a siege. It's a French name. You may recall that the regime engaged the frontline states to create a shield against the threat of communist onslaught, that is from the liberation movements. And it used the same strategy, used lots of money, materials, and bribes to give these frontline states. But fortunately, luckily, the Zimbabwe liberation movement through ZANU and ZAPU, as it happened in Africa, overthrew Smith. And that changed the dynamic. It changed the dynamic, and Zimbabwe was able to garner all the frontline states to form their own anti-apartheid regime shield to support the liberation movement onslaught in Africa under the OAU Liberation Committee. So the Africans said, no, we're not going to go with you. You are trying to use us. We are going to form our own shield against you. And that's what these guys did when they went in the country. They went in with the regime to form a shield against other liberation movements, made us suffer, impoverished us. I mean, in Africa, they are doing that today, using their majority votes in parliament to make a cordon sanitaire, protection of the party bosses and their corruption, and publicly insulting our common sense, my Africa, goodwill and sense of what is right and from wrong, and using their majority in court to undermine the courts. Now, you adopted a constitutional system that you claim is universal, universally accepted and appreciated. You go and use your majority in parliament to undermine the rulings, including of the Constitutional Court, the highest court on the land. What is that? Now, we can't talk about this from the United States because those are internal matters, dirty linen in the street. No, the world knows what you're doing, man. And the more we shut up about it, they think everybody is dumb and done. And you ask why. Like, for example, you have a national prosecuting authority. It goes out of its way to go and defend, tell the courts not to reinstate murder and corruption charges against the police, simply because that police intercepted tapes that helped the current president to gain his position, had all the corruption charges against him thrown out. Now you get the public prosecutor to go and defend this kind of person because he did the favor to the other one. Why did you surrender your integrity as the national prosecutor, publicly funded by the public, to defend the public interest? But it so happened, my Africa, the higher court came back and said, no, you, the deputy prosecutor, national prosecutor, and you, the head of the asset forfeiture unit, you are gone, defrocked. You can no longer be lawyers now. You are disbarred. Simply because the bar council took the position that, no, these guys, they did such a bad thing that they have to be disbarred. And the court did that. But in Africa, we have another one. The Supreme Court came up with a decision against the Public Broadcast Corporation and its permanent appointment of the chief operating officer. It had said that the lower court said that, no, that appointment was irrational and illegal. And the appeal court came and said, no, yeah, it's illegal. You have to step down. You know what's happening now? The corporation board has taken a resolution post the appeal court decision to this man step down. They said, no, man, we are reappointing you, and you're waiting for our meeting in October to officially reappoint you. Now, why do you take other people's constitution, undermine our sense of what's right and wrong? Why? Reducing the court decisions to worse than a public lobby decision. Public lobby. Why? Why do you do that? Why don't you adopt an African customary law system that's based on African customary laws? At least we know for a fact that if the community takes a decision, you don't go against the community. You don't do that. But here the appeal court say, look, this is we have been set up. Now, this very COO, it said the board gave him about what? 11.4 million bonus. And that's only one chunk for an expected 33 million payout over the next 3 years. And here's a corporation that has lost more than 500 million rands of the people's money. And mind you, people don't have clean water, drinking water, electricity. They have to pay. Unbelievable. This is That's the African extortion and plunder of Africa's public resources. These bourgeois, these bureaucrats, that's where the losses, the greater losses happens, because they come up with the entitlement of this, we are black, therefore, they should squander. You have another one, Africa, called Eskom, with electricity supply company. Now, they have stated publicly that, look, for us to proceed with the nuclear bill program, that has to be determined if it is affordable. And Parliament is still waiting to know, is this thing affordable? Because Cabinet is also working on that. And even the Minister of Energy previously refused, Mafrika. Parliament asked him, give us the information on the nuclear thing. She said, no, the information is confidential and privileged. Against Parliament, which of course it has. Parliament's singular duty, oath of office, is to hold the executive to account and oversight all over all state organs, with no exception. And it can subpoena confidential and privileged information, of course, hold it, keep it confidential also. But Mafrik, the same Department of Energy, without telling Parliament, has issued a tender costing 101 million rand to a sole director of a company of a son of a friend of the president. How deep can you go, my friend? Parliament does not know. You go and say, no, wait, we have not decided. At the same time, you are issuing tenders to friends of the kleptocracy. This is an insult. This is arrogance of the highest form. But as you say that, that is the modus operandi, all right? Modus operandi. They operate worse than the colonialists. And for 10 years, Mafrika, Eskom failed to repair and maintain the electricity distribution network. A direct cause of what happened after that load shedding, because people have to lie. You have to shut the lights off so that you fix one part, shut another part, you fix one part, shut another part, you fix one part. That's load shedding. And after you do that, you pay yourself bonuses. You pay yourself bonuses. But those who did not, who failed to repair and fix the network for 10 years, my Africa, paid themselves bonuses for introducing the so-called prepaid electricity card, where you it's like going an alcoholic going to the bottle store. You drink what you got. If you don't have money, you stuff. So that does not cover the sick and the poor. So, my Africa, we have been screwed here by another type of blacks. Africans, some of them never participated in the liberation struggle. They are claiming this thing because they feel that they are entitled to it. Pay themselves bonuses for doing what they are supposed to do. Repair, maintain the network, stop load shedding, expand generation capacity, innovate, alternative clean power generation. That's all you need to do. These are the people that fail to remove ash from boilers, causing load shedding. Now, they lie to the nation. They want nuclear. They are lying to us. Huh? And why is the People's Parliament? Of course, this is not the People's Parliament. This is a party parliament. They're operating under the cordon sanitaire. Cordon sanitaire, they copy stuff from the Boers that are apartheid and do it worse against us. Again and again, violating as Parliament again and again, violating its singular oath to hold the executive and the cabinet to account. My Africa, blame apartheid, blame the minority party, not yourself. But use yourself is to blame. You are to blame, my Africa, because this time, my white minority party, of course, has successfully recruited young black youth. They've won. The minority party has demonstrated its moral, cultural, and electoral superiority, winning major metros in the local elections. much West Africa, including the ANC namesake Nelson Mandela Day. South Africa, and that includes Forte, alma mater of the struggle, liberation martyrs. Africa, it's up to us. Vote as Ma Africa. Izwi lethu. Thank you.